It's 8:01. This is KBNF Regional News for Thursday, January 22nd. I'm Patricia Naft. Last November, the Forest Service listed the Gunnison sage grouse as a threatened species under the Endangered Species Act. That doesn't mean, though, that the fighting over this contentious bird is done. KBNF's Jake Ryan has the story.
Governor John Hickenlooper thinks that the listing goes too far, given the community action to protect the bird. He vowed that if the bird was listed, the state of Colorado would sue. Well, they've given a warning of their intent to sue. That lawsuit should be coming in late next month. Meanwhile, Wild Earth Guardians has just announced that they will sue because the threatened listing doesn't go far enough. This is Eric Mulvar, a biologist with the Wild Earth Guardians.
The threatened species designation is indeed a compromise, and it does compromise the protections for the species because it allows the Fish and Wildlife Service to set up free passes for various folk who are doing business in or managing Gunnison sage-grouse habitats, and potentially allows Gunnison sage-grouse habitat to continue to be fragmented, degraded, and destroyed. There are less than 5,000 birds estimated to remain in the wild today, and it has disappeared in over 93% of its original historic range. So this is a bird that really is on the edge of disappearing.
Some people, like Clate Braun, have watched that decline. He used to be in charge of sage-grouse research from 1973 to 1999 for Colorado Parks and Wildlife. He's retired now, but still involved. He's one of the principals on the lawsuit against the Forest Service.
Endangered species protection is a lot more rigorous in terms of requirements than is a threatened designation. Threatened really doesn't mean much. All it says is we're going to watch and see what happens. Endangered species designation means that we're going to actually do something, and we're going to start with a recovery plan. And that's what I'm really looking for, is a recovery plan. I want to see a recovery plan that has meat in it and not just promises.
He says that the grassroots efforts haven't shown that they've done anything good, and really, the bird should have been listed years ago. The current lawsuits over the listing may go on for a long time.
It may take years to get to this through litigation. It may take years to get a recovery plan. The question is, will we have any Gunnison sage-grouse left?
The one thing everyone can agree on is that they don't want that to happen. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
A group that was denied charter recognition by the Delta County School Board is appealing to the state. KVNF's Laura Pomisano reports.
The Valley Charter Initiative wants to open a Waldorf-inspired public charter school in Paonia. In December, the Delta County School Board unanimously denied the group's request for charter recognition. Chelsea Bookout with the initiative says after the board's decision, the group tried to mediate with the district, but those talks didn't go anywhere.
Now, we filed an intent to appeal last Friday, so the appeal process as it stands now will go before the State Board of Education in the beginning of March.
Bookout says if the Colorado Board of Education upholds the charter, it will ask the county school board to take another look at the request. For KVNF, I'm Laura Palmisano.
The town of Paonia's drinking water tank has turned into a can of worms. After tearing the roof off the $1 million gallon water tank, they noticed a lot more problems. The deficiencies they found were cracks in the concrete, questionable structural integrity, and more. Town manager Jane Berry says they've received one estimate to seal the inside of the tank to stop any leaks at a cost of $250,000.
By the time you put engineering, address the columns or the piers that are going to support the roof, some of the other issues, we could be looking at an additional price tag of another $350,000 to $400,000.
They're still figuring out where the money will come from, but Berry hopes to be able to move around some grant money they already have to cover the cost. Telluride taxpayers got some good news recently. Last November, the voters gave the go-ahead for a mill levy increase to pay for substantial additions planned by the Telluride School District. It was approved with a 24-vote margin, but approved nonetheless. One of the first steps was the issuing of bonds. This is Kurt Sugars, Executive Director of Administration of the Telluride School District.
When we proposed the bond, assumptions are made about future interest rates and bond rating for the school district. And those assumptions, we had better than anticipated actual bond rating and actual interest rates, which produced a cost savings to the total overall cost of our 2015 debt.
The cost savings is actually pretty good thanks to a better market and rates that they were expecting. They were able to save taxpayers $2 million. The construction, which includes a second story and a gymnasium, is set to begin this spring. Efforts are underway to get an idea about how many cats are out in the wild. Not the feral domestic cats, but the historic residents of Colorado's steep peaks, the lynx. KBNF's Jake Ryan has more.
Throughout the San Juan Mountains, Colorado Parks and Wildlife is on the lookout for lynx. The elusive cat has been found in Colorado for ages, but since the 1970s, they haven't been seen at all. Last decade, though, they were brought in from Alaska and Canada to try to reestablish them here. Scott Wade is a biologist with CPW, and he's part of an effort to track how well they're doing.
Well, it's an opportunity to follow up on the reintroduction that occurred throughout most of the 2000s. Since that effort, in which case all lynx were radio collared, there's been very little monitoring done since. So professionally and biologically, there's an obligation to follow up on that effort. But it's a very challenging project to follow up on a secretive, reclusive species that uses wilderness or difficult terrain.
The lynx did have radio collars when they were released, but that was a long time ago. Batteries have died, and some lynx have died. Right now, they're tracking the animals and using infrared cameras for areas too remote and dangerous, especially with the threat of avalanche.
It will be a challenge to ever definitively say whether we have an increasing or a decreasing or even a stable population of lynx, but we, even short of that, we will learn a great deal about how lynx are using this environment. And if we can keep it up over time, the results of that will indicate how lynx are using forests that are impacted by the beetles and the fires that have occurred in the San Juans, how quickly they're reoccupying those areas, or did they never stop using them?
They don't have results yet, but should have some idea this spring. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
And finally, Colorado lawmakers and both parties are starting to get behind legislative efforts to reduce student assessment testing. Benta Berkland has more.
Legislators say students are spending too much classroom time preparing for standardized tests instead of actually learning. But Governor Hickenlooper, along with Democratic Speaker of the House Dickie Lee Hollinghorst, are urging caution, saying testing is important.
Trying to make sure that our schools are accountable and that we know that our children are being educated appropriately.
Student assessments and trying to find more money for public schools are expected to be two of the key education policies debated during this session. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Stay tuned for Joanna and the Sweet Sound. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.